news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Spirits and ready to crank out episode number 2 of The Rexplex. You can follow on Twitter at The Rexplex, like us on Facebook by searching The Rexplex, or email us therexplex@gmail.com, where I will answer any and every question that you send me, and that is a promise. And of course, you can listen to us every Thursday at 7 p.m. at rantemradio.com. Shouts out to AA for giving this show a home. Couldn't be more thankful. And on rantemradio.com, you can also listen to The Rant every Tuesday night. Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Wednesday with the impact play of Phil Rea. The Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan. And on Sundays, What Are You Reading? Comic Book Show with Surfer. If you have Stitcher, search Rant EM. You will see the Rant EM logo. Click on it. Add it to your favorites, and you will have a more enjoyable life. I promise that. Now, I guess where I should start is maybe telling you a little bit more about myself. I am from New Orleans, Louisiana. I have been a wrestling fan since I was 3 years old, possibly before then. The first wrestler I ever met was a Junkyard Dog. He was very nice, cool as hell. Actually, he's the first person that I remember in my childhood hearing about his death and have it really affect me or hit me, because I wasn't aware of how much of an impact he had on wrestling here in the South, but he was a big deal, and it was an honor to meet that dude. So yeah, the first show I went to, the Road Warriors, went into the audience and made me cry, and I begged my mom to bring me home. Keep in mind, I was 3, they were big dudes, they had spikes and shit. As a kid, I pretty much had what you would call Chris Jericho syndrome. I wanted to be either a rock star or a wrestler. Let's see. I tried both, and still trying to see where that goes. The first match I can visually remember was the Battle Royal at WrestleMania 2 with the football players. I keep wanting to say Ice Train for some reason, but I mean, Refrigerator Perry was involved. My first match was against my brother in a losing effort. I lost by countout when he knocked the wind out of me, throwing me off my parents' bed. Don't know why he wouldn't just get off the bed, throw me in there, and pick up the pinfall because I was out. But, you know, my career picked up, bounced back. I won some gold or foil-wrapped cardboard, if you know what I mean. Take this with a grain of cocaine. I am not a wrestler, but I am a rock star, and so are you. And as I said at the beginning, this is episode dose of the Rexplex, and we have quite the dosage of WWE news to get into. And here, an early warning, I will not be detailing every last bit because, well, it's not really necessary. This will mostly be a quick run through of the happenings and a few of my thoughts. And we will kick it off with Hell in a Cell. I did not watch the pre-show, but apparently it was long. And Ms. Dow and The Miz were there. That's all I know. And also, apparently, Mark Henry squashed Bo Dallas. I feel kind of bad for Bo. I wish him the best of luck. I find him hilarious. A few months ago, he made me belly laugh. During the R-Truth segment on SmackDown, he made me laugh. I found that to be really funny. Looks like it's all squashes up until they can find something better for him. And then the real pay-per-view opens. We get Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro in a 2 out of 3 falls match. A match I was very much looking forward to, being that I'm fans of both of these guys' in-ring work. Bit more of a fan of Cesaro than I am of Ziggler. That's just because of my indie obsession. Okay, Ziggler got the clean sweep in this. Cesaro landed no pinfalls in this match. Ziggler got out of the giant swing, caught a roll-up, got the first fall. I believe he won with a... He won with a zigzag and beat Cesaro. The least you could have done, have Ziggler leap, maybe go for a Famesser attempt and get caught by Cesaro. Cesaro throws him up, hits an uppercut out of the blue. I can't remember any time in my years and years of watching wrestling seeing a clean sweep. So that upset me, but I'm cool with Ziggler having the belt. But I still, like I said last week, I wish the Intercontinental title meant something. Nikki Bella beat Brie Bella, so now Brie is a bitch for a month. For the tag team championships, the Usos took on Gold and Stardust, the tag team champions. They did a lot of stuff and jumped around and Air Uso, and Gold and Stardust retained the titles. Orton versus Cena, same Orton versus Cena match, except it was in a cage. They hardly used the cage. They really didn't do anything special that stood out to me, except have an Orton and Cena match surrounded by a cage. And another thing I thought that there was actually Hell in the Cell logo on the top of the cage. I wonder if that blocked the vision for any of the people there in the arena. But yeah, it was pretty much an Orton Cena match in a cage. At the end, Orton goes for the RKO off the second rope through a table. Cena reverses into the Attitude Adjustment. And now he is your number one contender for Brock Lesnar. When? We don't know. We have no idea. But I have an idea. Brock's not going to come back until Royal Rumble. And that's when that match will happen. More on that later. On the U.S. Championship, Sheamus beat The Miz. Mizdow was the best part of the whole segment once again. Sandow was awesome. I just hope to see him progress into something better as well. That's me. You know, always thinking optimistically, always thinking on a positive note. Rusev versus The Big Show. During the match, Mark Henry came out to show support. He said he came out to celebrate, but no one had won yet, so I'm not sure what kind of celebration that was. It caused a distraction. Rusev makes Show tap out. Henry and Big Show get into a little bit of an argument and tease the heel turn. It looks like it's about to happen, but no, it does not happen. Will it? We'll find out. AJ defeated Paige to retain the Divas title. And my favorite match of the night, and my least favorite ending of the night, was Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. I wish they would have given these guys 40 minutes and let them have a clean finish. And if they had to throw in some bullshit at the end, do that after the finish. Because Ambrose has been chasing Rollins and does not get any closure based on how this went. The match was awesome. Early on, before the bell even rang, both men fell off of the side of the cage, one through the Spanish announce table, the other through the pink announce table. The match started on the top of the cage as Ambrose begged for the Stooges. We might as well just call them that by now. I don't think they're going to ever call them that on TV. Mercury and Noble. and Ambrose pretty much just beat the shit out of both of them with a kendo stick. Singapore Kane back in the ring. Great match. A lot of good action. The screen goes black. The lights in the arena did not go out. They blackened the screen. They blackened the feed for anyone watching. The lights come on. There's a hole in the ring. Wyatt's in there. And Rollins wins. And that was Hell in a Cell. And here is Monday Night Raw really quick. And I have to say, I was complaining about Raw. This was actually a better Raw than those that I was complaining about. There was a little, it was a little more interesting. So, I mean, Triple H and Stephanie are in the ring at the start. They're praising Rollins. Orton comes out and says he hates to break up their love fest. Okay, I had to pause for a second to think about this because I've been talking about how bland Orton is forever. He has not entertained me in a long time. I have no interest in him. And he comes in with some actual emotion. He comes in, like, talking in his promo like he really means what he's saying. And you could feel like he meant what he was saying. And it looks like Vine went straight to the ring because he hit a RKO out of nowhere. And I am happy to see Orton like this because I want all superstars to be at their top level in their performances. And it looks like Orton actually gives a damn right now, which is great to see. Backstage, Henry and Big Show were talking about going after the tag team titles, so I guess they get that in the opening match. Henshow is got the advantage against the Dust Brothers. And after Show hits the KO punch, he hits the KO punch on Stardust. Henry comes in the ring angry because he did not like the way that Big Show tagged him by slapping him on the back. He said, "Ain't nobody hit me. Ain't nobody chop me," I believe was the exact quote. And so Henry laid out Big Show with the World's Strongest Slam and threw Cold Dust, Stardust, on top for the victory for the Dust Brothers. The crowd then chanted, "One more time, one more time." And Henry gave another World's Strongest Slam to the Big Show, securing the Henry heel turn. And he also gave a running splash, too. And there was a sexual chocolate chant throughout. So, yeah. Then we get Reigns live via satellite talking about how Seth Rollins is his boy. They need a better platform to do these segments with Reigns because he does not come through well in these via satellite segments. The best bet for Reigns would to do something like they do with Brock and have pre-taped segments and make sure that's all down because his speaking is not where it needs to be, especially if they want him to be in the main event picture. Maybe it's just my opinion, but it's not just my opinion. I know that. And a Divas match, AJ beat Alicia Fox. The Usos beat Miz and Stardust. Ryback returned to squash Bo Dallas, and it seemed the fans were behind Ryback with this one. And I had down Nikki beat Miami. I don't remember this, and I'm not sure exactly what this means. But according to my notes, Nikki Bella got a win over Miami. That might have been I might have been watching a different show. Okay, Ziggler beat Kane. And then in the main event, Rollins versus Cena. Pretty decent match, but didn't really hold my attention too much. The match ended by DQ in an all-out brawl. Everyone filling the ring. Even El Torito joined in the brawl just to get his in there, you know, try to see if he could change something, try to join the Cena side. So what we have after this Raw, leading into Survivor Series, it's looking like we will get Team Cena versus Team Authority. And one thing I forgot to mention also is Steph and Triple H's attempt to turn Cena heel and guaranteeing him the World Heavyweight Championship, and Cena saying no. Now, I heard this from a semi-unreliable source that Cena wants to turn heel. Take that as you will. Moving on to some TNA news. TNA news. Not really much to talk about here. Didn't watch TNA yesterday. Didn't watch it. Haven't watched the last four episodes at least. But here's one thing. Lashley versus Rude. Set to happen tonight for the title. We all know Rude is going to win the title. We all know Low-Key is going to win the X Division title if he is not already, because they take these things so far in advance that they really screwed up their schedule. And it also had a huge effect on Bound for Glory. And it baffles me that they think this is a working method, because all they have to do is look at it and say, oh, wow, the shit we're doing, it doesn't work. This is the hype for the Lashley-Rude match. Lashley, Saturday, I believe it was, had a fight in Bellator MMA, which he was successful in. Now, on Wednesday, Rude wins the title from Lashley. Their reasoning for making Lashley look like Rude had an easy time getting past him was that Lashley had such a tough fight on Saturday. Would he still be in the shape that upcoming Wednesday to put the TNA Championship on the line? Of course he would, because he put it on the line over a month and a half ago. He's fine right now. He's probably chilling at home, enjoying his paychecks, laughing at these idiots. And another thing, when I was talking to the AA about the time that this program should air, we were talking about whether it should be 7 or 8. And he notified me that since it's on Thursday, you have to keep in mind that Impact starts at 8 o'clock, well, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 o'clock over here in New Orleans. And I said, yeah, that's true, that's true. I would rather have it start 7 o'clock, maybe 7, run to 9, and lead into Impact. We had this whole conversation not even realizing that Impact had moved to Wednesdays. And if I am a diehard wrestling fan, an investigative wrestling fan who pays attention to every little last detail, as is AA, we are two individuals who know our stuff when it comes to wrestling, and we keep up very well, and I think we do a damn good job at it. Shouts out to AA. But the problem is, how many people think the show is still on Thursday? How many people go to watch on Thursday and say, oh, it happened yesterday? Well, if it happened yesterday, you missed it. TNA just not making much sense right now. I've already heard people talking about congratulations to Bobby Roode, the final TNA champion of all time. That's pretty much all I have for TNA news. Let's see. ROH news. Let's go right into it. ROH, I haven't been watching as much either. I am almost done watching their latest event, where it seems to be up-and-coming talent against already established talent. So so far it's been kind of odd, but I mean, it's still good action. You always get good in-ring action with ROH, but ROH seems to be going through some issues right now. Adam Page loses the championship to Michael Elgin next month after Elgin loses to Jay Briscoe for a myriad of reasons. First of all, he had to go back to Canada, and he's going to be stuck there for a little bit due to some border issues. And on top of that, ROH was not happy that Michael Elgin lost cleanly to Trevor Lee in the Battle of Los Angeles at PWG's Battle of Los Angeles, clearly. But so it's up in the air with Elgin. Who knows right now? Upcoming ROH has Survival of the Fittest. On night one, you'll see a grudge tag match between Jay and Mark, the Briscoes, against The Kingdom, Matt Taven, and Michael Bennett with Maria Kanellis. Then you will also see a Survival of the Fittest, pardon me, qualifier match, Reborn, Matt Sydal versus ACH. That should be awesome, High Flying Wrestling right there. Another qualifier, we have Jay Lethal with Truth Martini against Hanson. Big dude, big beard. And in another qualifying match, we have Adam Page and Cedric Alexander. And Cedric Alexander has been growing on me ever since I saw him live during WrestleMania weekend. And scheduled to appear, Adam Cole, Delirious, Tadarius Thomas, and Roderick Strong, as well as Caprice Coleman. It looks like the roster is thinning down to an extent, but also getting thicker, but there's not enough consistency with the bigger names making their appearances, and I find that to be an issue. You'll get an AJ Styles appearance every once in a while. I think Chris Hero made maybe one or two appearances, and hopefully Matt Sydal sticks around, and we get to see him as a part of the regular roster at least. Then, on the night two, you have the Briscoes versus the Addiction, formerly Bad Influence, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. You will have the Survival of the Fittest 14 match, which will be a four-way with the winners from the previous night in those qualifying matches. That's all that's on the card. Signed to appear is champion Jay Lethal with Truth Martini, Mark Briscoe, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Hanson, Tadarius Thomas, Cedric Alexander, ACH, Caprice Coleman, and Adam Page. And this makes me wonder because this is during the same weekend as my home promotion, Wildcat Wrestling's Revolution Rumble. And for about 2 weeks now, this card has been stacked with, it is a killer card, it has been stacked. And I am looking so forward to being there, to seeing the Revolution Rumble. But I just wonder how an indie promotion, I mean, ROH is indie. They were not considered that off and on. You know how it goes. Lee champion, you know how it goes. Shout out to Lee. But I'm looking at this, the Wildcat card on the same night. I think will be a much better show. I know it's going to be a much better show. And let's just say that. And jumping back to one thing that made me think of, with the TNA tapings, TNA can't get their shit together well enough to tape things out of order and put them together in a logical fashion that makes sense storyline and timeline-wise, which is pathetic. Because there are multiple independent promotions that have their own web shows. And they record all out of order, all over the place, in many different venues. But seem to somehow have great production and have their storylines in order and actually make sense. Why can't Panda Energy do that? But you know me, I had issues with pandas. Because once that damn panda came to Vince McMahon's office, the WWF turned into the WWE, and wrestling has never been the same since. And if you're wondering also why I haven't been watching so much WWE, it's because I watched three events that were each 3 nights long. And I'll start off with the first event that I watched, was the 2014 King of Trios presented by Shikara in Easton, Pennsylvania, September 19th, 20th, and 21st. I'm going to run through this really quick. Please try to pay attention, as Shikara can be very confusing. The teams you had in the tournament were 3PEC-O, Archibald Peck, Scott Parker, and Shane Matthews of Team 3.0, BDK to the third, featuring Iris, Dr. Cube, and Knockin', the block party of the sexiest man in Azerbaijan, Mr. Azerbaijan, Prakash Sabar, and the proletariat boor of Moldova, the colony with fire ant, silver ant, worker ant, colony extreme force, Arctic ant, missile assault ant, orbit adventure ant, the devastation corporation, blaster, massive, flex, rumble crunch, whose name I love, awesome name, and Max Smashmaster, the flood with Eddie Kingston, Jimmy Jacobs, and Volgar. The flood had been pretty much trying to take over Shakara with the help of other members, members of the Gekido. The Gekido, also in there with 17, Jigsaw, and the Shard. The Golden Trio with the tag team champions, Dasher Hatfield and Mark Angelo Setti, teaming up with the grand champion of Shakara, Icarus. KE4TPG, a keen eye for the pirate guy, Jolly Roger, Lance Steele, and Princess Kimberly. You had the auditorium with Quetka the Quiet, Sinboni, a.k.a. Kazarni, and Sir Oliver Grimsley, the LAX with Chavo, Hernandez, and Homicide, Spectral Envoy with Frightmare, Hollow Wicked, Ultra Madness, Black, the Spirit Squad with Johnny, Kenny, and Mikey, Team Extravaganza, Jervis Cottonbelly versus Marianne Fontaine and Thunder Kitty, and also Team UK, Damian Dunn, Mark Andrews, and Pete Dunn. And the opening round, we saw BDK defeat 3Pekko, Gekido defeat Keen Eye for the Pirate Guy, Team UK, who, this might have been my favorite showing, they were awesome, defeating the Block Party. Team Extravaganza took the fall and lost to the Devastation Corporation. The Flood beat fan favorites, the Spectral Envoy. The Colony Extreme Force went against the original Colony, and the original Colony were victorious. We had Kazarni and the Auditorium against the Spirit Squad, and do a cheer for yourself because the Spirit Squad took this one. The Golden Trio with all champions against LAX, the Golden Trio won. On the 20th, you had 3Pekko against Gekido. 3Pekko won that one. Team UK versus Devastation Corporation. Devastation Corporation won that one. The Flood defeating the Colony, upsetting a lot of the fans. The Spirit Squad and the Golden Trio, the fans were on both people's sides, both sides of both teams. This thus brought it down to 3Pekko and Devastation Corporation versus the Flood and the Golden Trio, leading to your final match, the Golden Trio. The faces in this, the championship team taking on the Devastation Corporation, with the winners of this year's King of Trios tournament in Shakara being the Devastation Corporation, Blaster McMastiff, Flex Rumble Crunch, and Max Smashmaster. So that's what has been going on in Shakara. It was a lot of fun, and honestly, it was hard to keep track of. I wish there would have been some more outside teams, some more interesting things. There were not many surprises, except at the end, Eddie Kingston, who was a part of the Flood, turned on the Flood and said, "He's all about Shakara, baby." So you still get that happy ending, even though the fans clearly wanted the Golden Trio to win. It was a pretty awesome, it was a pretty alright tournament. It was good. It was worth watching. It truly took a lot out of me. That's the first of the 3 day of events I'm going to talk about. I guess right now, we're going to save that. Right now, we're going to take a quick break and should be back soon with my co-host for this episode, special co-host joining, Lexi V, also the mailbag, and much, much more. Stick around. Enjoying what you hear so far? Want to hear more of the Rexplex week after week? Send us feedback at therexplex@gmail.com. Facebook group page at www.facebook.com/TheRexPlex. What is good, people? We are back with the RexPlex.
Wrestling fan, I guess you could say, but I'm pretty knowledgeable, so yeah.
Okay, I was gonna ask you, like I do for all rotating co-hosts,
okay,
some questions. First, how excited are you to be on this show?
I'm super excited. I mean, it's yours, and
of course,
awesome.
Yeah, that's okay. All right, okay, you said you're a sort of something kind of wrestling fan?
I'm a half-ass wrestling fan.
Are you an out-of-the-closet wrestling fan?
Only halfway. I don't particularly, like, discuss it. However, I will, like, force myself into conversations with the cooks at work about it. So I definitely put my two cents in when I feel like it.
That's always cool. That's always good, having people to conversate with about things like that. It is fun. It's always fun to have conversations about that. What color is your hair right now?
Well, according to the Manic Panic bottle, it is atomic turquoise. Kind of looks more like aquamarine right now, though.
And what is the most favorite hair color you've ever had?
Oh, that's a hard one. Like unnatural hair color or like color, weird color?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I like being blonde. It's my go-to.
Okay, that sounds great. Sounds awesome. So how long have you been watching?
I've only been watching since you and I have been together, so about 2.5 years.
You used to watch? No, wait, you didn't watch.
No, never.
Your dad never let you in on the big secret.
Well, I also didn't have cable growing up, so I couldn't really watch it, even if I wanted to.
So you would have had to go into shows with your dad.
Yeah, but my dad lives in Mississippi and I live in Louisiana.
Oh, well, there's the problem. Okay, here we go. Next question. Who is your favorite wrestler?
I don't know. Like, it kind of depends. Like, there's...
Any from anywhere, independent, WWE, your favorite promotion, TNA.
Oh my god, I hate TNA with passion. I'm always like, why are you watching this crap? So yeah, that's definitely my least favorite one.
Now listeners, take that into account. She's only been listening for about 3 years, and that's what she thinks of TNA. Should tell you something.
Yeah, I every time you watch it, I'm just like, why are you watching this? It's so boring, blah, blah, blah. But, I don't know, I have, like, a handful of favorite wrestlers from WWE. My favorites probably right now are Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, hands down. As far as, like, independent wrestlers go, since you've been watching me watch Candice LeRae a lot, I've been really enjoying her.
Well, that was my next question. Who's your favorite female wrestler?
Oh, I really like her. She's awesome. As far as WWE goes, I don't really know too many of them. Who? I don't know.
Okay, whatever. Who is the most attractive wrestler? Male or female? Or both?
Or both?
Yeah.
Definitely none of the women wrestlers are ugly because you can't be ugly and on TV, apparently. So they're actually beautiful women. But as far as the other things go, I usually have a really hard time finding any male wrestler attractive. I'm not a girl who's into muscles and, like, all that stuff, but I definitely have a crush on Seth Rollins. Hands down, that is my WWE boyfriend.
Okay, this one, yeah, okay. Now, female.
Who's the hottest? Eva Marie is fucking beautiful. Like, she just is. So I would say her.
Okay, have you ever eaten Spam, and if so, how was it prepared?
I have never eaten Spam. The word just kind of freaks me out, and the look of it freaks me out, so I kind of just avoid it at all costs.
Okay. So you're sure you never ate spam?
Never. Never eating spam.
If Nancy Grace was here right now, what would you tell her?
I'd tell her to shut the fuck up. Like, it's the only thing she needs to be told. A woman just never shuts up.
What if she had a good comeback?
I still tell her she just needs to shut up, because her voice is annoying. She's just annoying. She's an annoying human being.
Your voice is sexy, so...
I know.
So
she should be a sex phone operator.
In the future, I will have you on doing sex phone work. But right now, right now, we're doing some wrestling audio commentary and talk. And just having a good time. Do you have a favorite match that you can remember?
I guess Jack Evans versus Teddy Hart that one time.
That was a random match in PWS.
Yeah, it was really good.
And that, I think that's when you said, oh, wow, this is very skillful. I'm not sure if do you have another one?
I'm definitely a half-assed wrestling fan. So I don't particularly, like, keep tabs on all of them and be like, oh, that was so awesome. Like, it's just not my thing. I usually just like to sit there and watch them and, like, critique them as they're going.
So no, but you...
Like I said, I'm half-assed wrestling fan. Not even gonna lie.
Okay, if you could meet one wrestler and have a drink and a conversation with them, for not to hook up with them, for pleasure and, oh my god, not
for pleasure,
just to hang out, have a drink, have a talk, and have who would you hang out with? You can pick three different wrestlers to hang out and go to a bar with.
Okay, I would totally hang out with Colt Cabana, because he is fucking hilarious, and I just adore him. Let's see, who else would I want to hang out with? I'm trying to think. This is really hard.
Yeah, I know. This is not an easy one. But it's going to be a crazy night when it happens.
But yeah, definitely Colt Cabana.
Boom, boom.
I don't know. Can we come back to that one? Let me think about it.
All right, we can come back to that one.
Okay.
But definitely Colt Cabana.
Definitely.
Do you know if they ever found Kim Jong-un?
I don't really care right now. Politics are just ridiculous. I don't even know. I stopped paying attention.
And this goes back to an earlier question. Is there anything TNA can do to get their shit straight?
They would, if they wanted to get their shit straight, I feel like they would pretty much just have to, like, scrap their entire creative team and just, like, start all over again. I feel like if they really want to build their brand back to, like, not being so much as a joke, because unfortunately, a lot of people do view it as a butt of a joke. And as much as they don't want to, because there are a lot of people in there who are actually, like, decent wrestlers, like, but their storylines just blow.
Yeah, you got Austin Aries.
Yeah, he's good.
Jeff Hardy. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the thing is, I think it's internal is what the problem is.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have their shit together internally, and Dixie is basically just letting her father's company hemorrhage money just to keep her little toy running.
Yeah, it's basically just like this little game to her. I feel like she doesn't take it seriously enough, which is really sad because as a female, I applaud her for taking on such a male-heavy industry and, like, trying to go with it, but she's not doing it in a very smart entrepreneurial way.
I totally agree. So, you thought about the other two wrestlers you might hang out with?
Oh my gosh, you got me distracted on other things. Okay, wait, give me 2 seconds. Two.
One.
Two. I would definitely hang out with Dolph Ziggler at a bar. I bet he would be a lot of fun to go to a bar with. I don't know, I think he'd be funny. I mean, he did date Amy Schumer, right? So he's got to be someone funny.
Yes, he is attempting comedy. He's been attempting stand-up for a few years now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then I think I'm going to try to pick a female for my last one, because I feel like, you know, need to have some girl bonding drinking time. Let me think. No. Would not hang out with Naomi. I don't know. I'm not a WWE fan, like the Divas show, whatever, like you are. I've seen
it. I'm not a fan of the show.
You definitely watch it more than I do.
No, I was going to... Dude, all I watched the... You're not supposed to cough on this show.
Oh, well, I'm kind of sick, so they can deal with it.
Deal with it, people. Where was I?
Oh, you were talking... I just added you as a total Divas fan, sort of.
I watched the first season. I like seeing some of the behind-the-scenes shit. That's all. I
know who I would definitely go to a bar with. I would totally go to a bar with Brie Bella. I bet she's cool in real life. I bet, like, her persona on the show is just...
Wait,
persona.
You sure you don't want to take that back? Because at Hell in a Cell, they had Brie Bella versus Nikki Bella. And according to the referee's decision, you shouldn't go out with her this month because she's going to be a bitch all month. Because she lost.
I mean, she's female. She's a bitch 24/7. We all are.
Okay. Did you hear that female admission? First time ever. Rexplex exclusive. What do you think of New Jack?
He's an interesting guy. We did watch that one interview with him where he just, like, totally, like, hardcore, like, ripped up everything. He's an interesting story, for sure. I'm not quite sure about him as a wrestler. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I've personally watched.
You've never seen one New Jack match.
Okay.
No, that's why. You've seen probably about 3 hours of New Jack interviews, and you've probably seen maybe one old ECW match where he ran out with a trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I did really enjoy his story about how he was, like, so fucked up on cocaine. Then he went into the match, he was like, I gotta go home. Because his heart was beating, like, so freaking fast.
You know what he meant by go home?
Yeah, he meant, like, in the match, or, like, in the match with him. And I don't know if it was, like, one of those ones where you, like,
do you see people. This? Do you hear this, ladies and gentlemen? Smart female wrestling fans. This is what we need more of. And not only smart, beautiful.
Aw, you're cute.
I'm damn good-looking dude, hell yeah. Okay, so we talked about WWE. Well, in comparison, when you saw Lufisto, and I'm not sure which promotion it was. Short Ninja, she wrestled in CZW. It was a match I was watching. It was a tag team match from an indie promotion. I don't think Lufisto was even in that match. It may have been Jessica Havoc, who's now in TNA. And there were different size, different types.
Is that the chick that was going against Candice LeRae in that one match?
That was...
What was her name?
That was Veda Scott.
Oh, I don't like her.
Veda Scott has some work in ring.
Yeah, she has potential, I'm sure, but she definitely needs to work on something. Some of the things look really messy, and you can definitely tell that they're fake.
Yeah. And so, with that, what I wanted to ask was, how do you feel about WWE's treatment of women and Total Divas?
Honestly, like, I don't think that is pure WWE at all. I think that is a combination of a lot of things. I definitely think that they look at society and what they want, and as far as Total Divas go, they're really just playing into, like, the whole reality, like, format. Like, it's the same thing on, like, Keeping Up with the Kim Kardashian thing.
Yeah.
It's the exact same format. I mean, plus, you know that they pay them to, like, go to all these things. Like, it's the same thing. That's why, like, on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kim doesn't have Kanye or the baby ever on the show. Because it's everything scripted.
Yes. It's scripted. It's definitely all scripted. It's definitely all scripted.
But, I mean, as far as the treatment goes, I mean, there are women in there. They're obviously happy with their positions. I do feel like they should focus, like, a little less on, like, looks exclusively. I feel like you could definitely find, like, a female wrestler with a very toned and athletic body who looks like she could be a wrestler, but still be attractive. Like, oh, what's her face? Charlotte is, like, the perfect example of that. She's good looking, but she has a strong athletic body.
Yeah, she is. She's muscular.
Yeah.
And hopefully with Sarah Del Rey being in there, Sarah Del Rey, I believe she should have been a wrestler, but she's training them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure exactly what's going on with Karma. I just know she's doing indie things, and she is was a completely different look.
Yeah.
And so I don't think she'll ever be coming back to the WWE, but there's no telling. But she was a completely different look. She was a beast, a monster who couldn't.
I'm not saying they should change the look. I'm just saying they should change, necessarily body type. Like, they don't need a 6 foot tall model who weighs 110 pounds. Like, you need somebody who's, 5'7", weighs, 157 pounds, but she's, pure fucking muscle, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to eat chicken noodle soup every day.
Exactly. Yeah. Or lettuce, just plain lettuce with a Diet Coke.
No.
It's awful. Awful diet. I read it in an article one time. Don't laugh at me. Some model chick did that.
And my final question, have you signed up for tagmeadate.com?
That's how we met, remember?
No, we actually... The story of how we met was we were both very, very lonely people in this world.
We just didn't, we're looking for that partner in life.
We thought we would go to the best dating service that we could find. And that, to me, was blackpeoplemeet.com.
I did it as a joke. I love you, says white boy.
I'm hardly black, and she is very, very white.
I'm Irish German. I'm the whitest you can get.
I'm Creole, mixed with other things. More on that later in the breaking news segment in episode 18. Episode 18, so... Are you ready to run down some indie news? PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrillas, Battle of Los Angeles 2014.
Woo-woo, let's get it.
Okay, night one. In the first round, TJ Perkins, who was also Manic in TNA.
I have no idea. I don't watch TNA.
He defeated Bobby Fish by reversing the fish hook into a pin attempt. We also had Roderick Strong defeat Biff Busick, who was awesome with the Orange Crush backbreaker. Trevor Lee, who I've been really into, who's an amazing dude, he's awesome, defeated Cedric Alexander. And we had the tag team titles on the line where Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae, world's cutest couple, defeated Rich Swann and Ricochet. And Kazarian and Daniels when LeRae hit reverse Hurricane Rana on Rich Swann.
That was a good match.
Yeah, that was a very good match.
Yeah, Candice LeRae killed it.
Yeah, the Hurricane Rana, the reverse Hurricane Rana on the end was beautiful.
Has anyone noticed that Candice LeRae holds Joey Ryan up when they're together?
I know you've noticed it.
Keeps everything together. Like, don't get me wrong, he's good, and, he can definitely, hold his own, but she just puts a little more effort into it.
I think he knows. I think he knows that. If you saw you see the video of us at WrestleCon while Joey and Candice were in the ring, and the multiple Candice grabbing Jake Manning by the balls and suplexing him.
That was big. I don't think I've ever seen one of those moves until she did it, and
neither have I, with Joey Ryan doing the bootplex to Soho Vault, and we went nuts. Also in the first round, Michael Elgin defeated Tommaso Ciampa, AJ Styles defeated Brian Myers, former Curt Hawkins. They were going for the Styles clash, and they had to readjust. It was definitely a botched ending, and so they ended up ending it with a Boston Crab as Brian Myers was slipping. This was clearly a botch. And the final first round match you had... No, this isn't the final first round match. The first round went 2 days. You had PWG champion Kyle O'Reilly defeat Drew Gulak via a cross arm breaker. And so what you had in this is Biff Busick, who is the CZW World Heavyweight Champion, losing to Roderick Strong. Michael Elgin, who was the ROH champion at that time, defeating Ciampa, and AJ Styles, who was the IWGP champion, defeating Brian Myers. Now keep this in mind if you remember what I said last week about AJ Styles not losing any indie matches clean. Night 2 in the first round, Candice LeRae defeated Rich Swann via a cradle. Rich went for the 450 off the top rope. Candice got the knees up and quickly rolled them over, and she got the 3 count, advancing to the quarterfinal round.
She just whooped his ass, didn't she?
Johnny Gargano defeated Chuck Taylor, two former team members, in several variations via the Gargano Escape. Also, in the next match, who I said is the wrestler of the year, and I just got a little leak of the PWI 500, and he's not in the top 10, so what the fuck is up with you, PWI? If Luke Hawks is not on there, I'm going to send you some complaint letters, because you're obviously not paying attention to real wrestling. Ricochet defeated Chris Sabin via a 630 splash. You had a tag match with Fish and O'Reilly defeating Gulak and Biff Busick. They hit the Chasing the Dragon finish on Gulak. Matt Sydal, former Evan Bourne, defeated Chris Hero via Shooting Star Press. Zack Sabre Jr., who I praised on last week's episode, that I think is awesome and should be looked at by WWE, defeated Adam Cole, who I also believe should not only be picked up by WWE. I have a lot more to say about Adam Cole, and that's going to come out later, but Sabre won with the O'Connor role. Adam Cole should be the guy, I think, is the only logical person to take the belt from Jay Briscoe in Ring of Honor, but I am promotion jumping quite crazy right now. Next first round match, Kenny Omega defeated ACH with Kreutz Wrath. If you don't know what that is, look it up on YouTube. It is a sick, sick finish. And in the main event, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, took on Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, now known as Addiction, and they were formerly known as Bad Influence. And in this match, the Young Bucks debuted their new move called, yes, it's called the Meltzer Driver, named after columnist Dave Meltzer, where one of the Jacksons has Kazarian set up in a tombstone position, and the other Jackson springboards, does a 450 splash, landing on his, does a 450, not a splash, does a 450 while grabbing and connecting all together in that one tombstone. Now on the final night we had the quarterfinals. We had Johnny Gargano defeat Candice LeRae via Hertz Donut with a botched pinfall count by the referee. Ricochet defeating TJ Perkins with the Benadriller, which is pretty sick. And, okay, here we go. This is some ROH, back to ROH. Trevor Lee defeated Michael Elgin clean via a small package. ROH apparently was not happy with this at all, as Michael Elgin was their reigning world champion, and Trevor Lee is a 21-year-old up-and-comer. The thing is, Trevor Lee is that damn good and has that bright of a future that a person like Michael Elgin would understand how important it is to put him over, especially in a tournament like this, which by most independent wrestling fans consider this the biggest tournament of the year. Next quarterfinal round match, Kenny Omega defeated Matt Sydal via an electric chair driver. Roderick Strong in the next quarterfinal match defeated AJ Styles. And like I said, AJ Styles never losing clean in America in the indie scenes. Roderick Strong defeated AJ Styles via disqualification when a chair was brought into the match. Ref bump, ref gets up, sees AJ with the chair, disqualifies AJ. Roderick Strong moves on. Kyle O'Reilly defeats Zack Sabre Jr. via a triangle choke. I don't think people use tropes in wrestling anymore.
It's a troke.
That was a thing back in the day. It was like, it's like checking the oil. Andre used to stick his finger up everyone's asshole.
That's just weird.
Yeah. But he did it. Check the oil, baby. You gotta check the oil.
That's so gross.
After the match, Roderick Strong attacked O'Reilly, knocking him out of the tournament. So that way, Strong advanced to the finals as O'Reilly could no longer compete. The Young Bucks and Adam Cole defeated ACH, Chris Sabin, and Brian Myers with another great performance by all six men. No, I'm not going to criticize Brian Myers. Semi-final round, Johnny Gargano defeated Trevor Lee, making him tap the Gargano Escape. Other semi-final round, Ricochet defeated Kenny Omega. So, based on O'Reilly getting injured by Strong, the finals are now a three-way, which will be Ricochet versus Johnny Gargano versus Roderick Strong, and the winner will be the Battle of Los Angeles champion, winner, trophy winner. You get a trophy, but you know what happens to trophies. They break. We had...
Belts don't break.
Chris Hero, Joey Ryan, Chuck Taylor, Rich Swann, and Willie Mack defeated Biff Busick, Drew Gulak, Cedric Alexander, Bobby Fish, and Tommaso Ciampa when Swann beat Fish, pinned Fish, after a big frog splash. And I thought this was... I said it last week. I thought this was Willie Mack's final match. And I was looking forward to his farewell speech, but I'm maybe one event behind with the way that PWG puts out their DVD releases. So I'm still looking forward to that heartfelt goodbye from Willie Mack. See the emotional crowd. I heard many people in the crowd were crying, singing along, "Why Can't We Be Friends?" And I'm also looking forward to his return. It says WWE, unfortunately, did not even fly him out to Florida. And in the final round of the Battle of Los Angeles, Ricochet defeated Johnny Gargano and Roderick Strong to win the 2014 Battle of Los Angeles. See, I really like the finish of this because there were a lot of high spots, shooting star presses, 450s, and
there's lots of flips.
Flips on flips. There was a lot of close calls with Gargano, with the Gargano Escape. A lot of backbreakers from Strong. And I believe Strong took the Hertz donut and was hurt, rolled out to the ring. And Ricochet delivered a stiff spinning kick to the side of the head of Gargano with a big... And that got him the three count. And out of nowhere, that big finish... Instead of picking up the victory with a big top rope showcase spectacle, just a kick out of nowhere. So, your winner of the Battle of Los Angeles 2014, my wrestler of the year, Ricochet. And be sure to watch Ricochet. He'll be wearing a mask in the Lucha Underground promotion. He'll be called Prince Puma. And spoilers, he is going to beat John Morrison to become the champion. Also, the other show that I watched that was 3 days long was AIW. Highlights from those 3 days was Colt Cabana the first night taking on Officer Dick Justice. This was hilarious. Something happened. Dick Justice fell on his ass, rolled back, and as his legs were sticking up in the air, Colt Cabana bridged and fell back onto his legs and beat him. On night two, still involving Colt Cabana, Tracy Smothers talked for about 20 minutes and I could hardly understand what he was saying. It was just a lot of drunken rambling.
It wasn't even a match. That was just like, I know, it was pathetic.
It was not a match.
It was a rant, basically. It was just, like, this, like, little segment set up to get this dude on a mic and just, like, bitch about shit.
Smothers didn't do anything in this match. Of course, I mean, he's old. He's old. I've seen Smothers get put through a table once. I was in, like, the front row. I've seen him get put through many tables, I think.
I'm sure you've seen a lot of people get through a lot of tables.
I've seen myself go through a table.
I have, too.
Okay. but, yeah, Colt Cabana and Cliff Compton were the highlights of these segments. Night three, Abyss took on Christian Faith in a Monsters Ball match. This was exactly like a Monsters Ball match you would see in TNA. Abyss won with a choke slam through a barbed wire table. They announced on night two that Michael Elgin would be there to defend the absolute championship. However, last second, I don't know how they didn't know this on night two. Did they want the fans to not miss out on night three? Because they had to have known much earlier than that. They stripped Michael Elgin of the title because he could not cross the border. There, they vacated the belt, and the vacated title was put on the line where Tim Donst defeated Josh Alexander by submission in what was a great match. I suggest all of you support independent wrestling. If there's any indie wrestling by you, just go check it out. You'll have a good time. Even if it's some shitty no names, if that doesn't matter, you might see some good names. Another question for Lexi V. Who is your favorite Wildcat wrestler?
Oh, that's a hard one. Who's really fun to watch? He's not in there anymore. He's
that's what
there.
I was saying. Does he count?
Yeah, I don't know. I loved watching Buku Dao. He was so much fun. There are some people that I just really like seeing their characters, though. I mean, obviously, Luke Cox is a given. What? But I don't know. There's a few. I really like watching Danny Flamingo's character. Wolf Rady is really fun to watch, too. He does a lot of flips and stuff. Purple Haze is cool.
Yes, these are all homegrown stars. Well, but they travel all over. Oh, there you go. That's what I forgot to mention, what I really liked about AIW. Bolt Brady was in the first two nights.
Yeah, that was so cool seeing him on there.
And it was awesome to see somebody who I'm cool with personally on there.
Jay Spade's fun to watch, too.
Jay Spade, this dude is built like a machine, and he's got all the skill, all the talent. Luke Hawks is doing an awesome job with Wildcat. If you're in the New Orleans area, make sure you check out the Wildcat Revolution Rumble.
I have a question before we go.
Yes.
Let's talk about Halloween. Halloween's this weekend. No? No?
Yes, Halloween is this weekend.
Yeah. What are you being for Halloween?
I'm going to be Kermit the Frog the night before Halloween. And I'm going to be the ultimate warrior on the night of Halloween.
Sweet.
What are you going
to
be?
I'm going to be the Miss Piggy to your Kermit, and I will be a mermaid to match my aquamarine hair.
That sounds pretty awesome. I think that's most of the news.
And Voodoo Fest is this weekend.
Everyone, also, Wildcat, go to wildcatsports.com or check out Wildcat Sports on Facebook. If you're anywhere in the South, it's definitely worth checking out. Or check out their web series if you want to see a little hint of, get a little taste, a preview of the action.
Or their Instagram. Their Instagram's fun, too.
Or Instagram, too. Do you want to get some Instagram followers?
Oh, sure. If you feel like following me, you can find me at the Lexi V, THELEXIV. That'll be me.
Okay, it is now time for the last portion of this program, and that is the mailbag.
This is the mailbag. We got questions you sent to rexblacks@gmail.com.
Yeah, is good. All right, we're back. Well, we never left. This is time for me to open up the bag of mail from the listeners of this show and friends of this show. Question number one comes from D. Francis in New Orleans, who asked, why is WWE hamstringing talent like Cesaro and other mid-level talent? I feel that they are keeping them mid-level, hoping that that talent will remain there while they try to get others over, thinking that they can push the button on a guy like Cesaro at any time, not realizing how time-sensitive this business is, especially with the talent and the way injuries can happen out of nowhere. Cesaro should be a main eventer. I believe Cesaro should be a main eventer way more than Reigns should. Yeah, definitely. Cesaro should be a main eventer. There are a lot of other mid-level talent. There's NXT talent that should be at least breaking in. But it has a lot to do with the creative team. Why are we getting the third Brock Cena matchup? We're going to get it at Royal Rumble, and this is going to be so Brock can finally finish off Cena and define himself as a dominant champion before he has his match at Mania. This should be more of a Brock just tears Cena up match, I'm predicting. And I'm predicting it will be at Royal Rumble. And you're just getting that to end it. Just the Brock dominates Cena. The DQ... Wait, was it? Yeah. Wait. Fuck. How'd that match end? It was a DQ. Yeah, it was a DQ. I was right. Rollins ran in. And DQ, so no clean finish. You get the third one, so you can have Brock's display that he is that monster, to have him looking strong, because that will most likely be his last performance before Mania. And the last question from D. Francis, who's actually a great rapper as well, is how is Wildcat Wrestling slowly becoming the indie show to go to? Simple. Talent, good ideas, creativity. Luke Hawks has been around the world, and if you have the Luke Hawks brand on your product, it is going to launch, and this isn't just the Luke Hawks brand on a product. This is the Luke Hawks product. Every show gets better. I know you've been going, D. Francis. Hope to see you at the next one. I know you told me you just got your tickets. Thank you for the questions. Next question comes from Scott from Ontario, who asks, I know you're a big ECW fan. What are your favorite ECW matches? Both Taz and Bam Bam matches I highly enjoy. Were two of my favorites that I go back and watch. But I'm not sure I believe it was the one where the ring collapsed. Either way, there was a stage collapse and the ring collapsed. Those are two of my favorites. Hayabusa and Jensei Sensaki versus Rob Van Dam and Sabu as one of my favorite ECW matches. Looking back at it, it's a little bit different than it was to me at that time. And I also loved all the classics with Guerrero and Malenko. Those were all great. The favorite ECW match I've seen personally was Masato Tanaka versus RVD for the TV title. And that was a fantastic match. Definitely one of the best matches I've seen live. Scott also asked, if you could see one matchup, dead or alive, what would it be? Now, mine's going to be a little bit different than what most people would say. Let's see, I gotta think up. I would like to see Savage in his prime against Daniel Bryan, because amongst those in the know, Savage was always known for being so meticulous. You can go back to the Steamboat match and also the conversations he had in with Warrior. Warrior said that Savage was his favorite guy to work with because Randy was so adamant that everything went smoothly. That's why I think Savage in his prime against Daniel Bryan would be a very, very smooth match. I think the two would mesh well. That would be a dream match. And this one might be expected, another one, one more. But I think it would be awesome. Would be Eddie Guerrero versus El Generico, a.k.a. Sami Zayn. I think they would put on a clinic. And, I mean, that's just... I like those styles of matches, and I think that would have been an awesome match. It's just two different time periods. Sad there's so many more. And let's see, who the hell sent this? Why? Okay, there's no name on for this one. What's the best WrestleMania of all time? This could be debated forever. Most say 17. I'm pretty sure the most popular opinion is 17, but I have a place in my heart, no pun intended, for WrestleMania 10. I like the story that played out throughout the whole event. Owen getting the win over Bret early on, and Bret ending up by beating Yokozuna in the finish. But speaking of finish, I hated the main event finish of that match. Yokozuna slipping and falling off the second rope and Bret pinning him. I think Bret could have at least done that second rope elbow. I know he couldn't have put him in the sharpshooter, but I don't think Hart should have won the title based on clumsiness. But yeah, 10 and 17 is always great. See, my brother from the West Bank sends in, my brother BC, best battle rapper in the South, asks, why is wrestling more about promos and cutscenes? The matches are so watered down and lack creativity now, like constantly seeing Orton and Cena and Sheamus versus whoever, for example. Similar to D. Francis's question about why they're hamstringing talent like Cesaro, I think it's just laziness in the creative team. They say, hey, this guy works with this guy well, this guy works with this guy well, let's put him on Raw. Let's put him on...
Maybe they're just doing that, like, waiting for, like, their top two main guys who are also, like, out for injuries, like, waiting for them to get back?
Yeah, I do think it is that they're trying to fill in time until the pay-per-view. And when you have no Punk, no Bryan, no Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar not on TV, that's possibly a good reason why you keep seeing these same matches over and over. If you watch SmackDown, half the matches you see on there, you're going to see on Raw. And that's kind of shitty, but it's laziness in the creative team just trying to fill in time, I think, and up until Rumble, which sucks for fans and might be a big reason why I lost interest for such a long time. Brian from Cleveland sent in this one. When those guys are all sweaty and pushed up slamming each other, do either of them get a boner? Well, I looked it up.
Sure.
Google says it happened to Rene Dupree very often. The Iron Sheik got a boner when he had the camel clutch on Hogan. And when asked about this, Sheik admitted that he was rock hard and wanted to humble Hulk. I will rock hard against Hulk. He wanted to humble Hulk Hogan, and he was rock hard. And I'm pretty sure Goldust had a semi-boner against Bam Bam Bigelow at In Your House. That's just from what I remember from a long time ago. My friend screaming, look, Goldust has a boner. Goldust has a boner. So thanks for the question, Brian. The Link Quit asks, do you think The Rock has retired from wrestling? No. I think he personally wants a match at WrestleMania 31, and it looks like it may be against Triple H, or they could just be teasing us. But depending on his movie schedule, I don't think he's happy with how it ended. I think he will have at least one more or two more. He's definitely going to be showing up more, but he's definitely coming back. He doesn't want to retire. That's what I... That's. Thanks for the question, Delinquent. Anthony from Metairie asks, did Alundra Blaze screw everything up for Ugly Chicks to have a chance in the business when she left and threw away the title in the trash? No. Or maybe... Ugly... I don't know if ugly is the right word. Alundra Blaze is... All women are beautiful in their own way. Don't be so harsh, Anthony. Did Alundra Blaze screw up everything for ugly women? No, but she made WWE get very, very high up on the whole sex sells thing. It's just when she left the aspect of what she had can be found at Shine and Shimmer. But, I mean, you got to give it Mickey James... Trish, Lita, Gail Kim, they came in, they picked up the slack, but yes, they all are more attractive than Alundra Blaze. You have a point.
Nate, when was Alundra Blaze around?
The 90s, and she left, and the girl on the, when we watched the Monday Night Wars, she threw the women's belt in the trash can on WCW
TV.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
What did you think of her?
I don't know. I mean, she wasn't ugly. I think China's the ugliest person in... Ugliest woman in WWE wrestling history. Just my opinion. Or that one chick that looked like a... Tarzan. Do you know what I'm talking about?
There's...
Like, that... Like, she like, oh, this is the sexiest woman in the world, blah, blah, blah. And she came out, and it was, like, from the 90s, and, like, she just looked like a dude. She looked like Tarzan.
Yeah, Aja Khan.
Yeah.
Aja Khan?
I'm telling you, just get some more Charlottes in there and everything will be great. Okay.
Clyde Sampson asks, why can't there be wrestlers like the Nasty Boys today? I'm pretty sure there's some nasty-ass people who... Or in wrestling, because the Nasty Boys weren't actually that great of wrestlers. There's a dude named Bucks Belmar, I believe, who was just dirty. I saw him in AIW. I'm pretty sure he wrestled in Interspecies Wrestling, and he would do things such as eat condoms and stuff like that.
Use condoms? Because that'd just even sicker.
I don't know. I'm not going to ask him. This man is dirty. A few weeks ago, there was mustard and ketchup involved in Raw, like that one WCW Uncensored match with the Nasty Boys versus Harlem Heat, where everyone was slipping on the floor with all the mustard and cola, soda, or pop, depending where you're from. But I do have a great Nasty Boys story. When I was standing in line at WrestleCon, I saw this rent-a-car. They were struggling to fit into a spot. Parking in New Orleans is crazy. Very, very tight.
And it's non-existent.
Or non-existent, like Lexi V said.
Either you're paying for it no matter what.
Yeah, you usually have to pay for parking, especially during WrestleMania weekend. And I believe it was Sags jumps out of the car. Full Nasty Boy gear on and everything. Spray-painted, done-up jacket, and he is trying to signal the driver of the car to park right. This is going on for about 10 minutes, me watching Jerry Sags of the Nasty Boys trying to get this car parked. After long enough, he starts banging on the side of the car, screaming. Out pops Brian Knobbs. He screams, "Jerry, Jerry, what the hell are you doing here? What is going on?" The Nasty Boys spent about a half an hour trying to park the car together in full gear, screaming at each other as if they never got out of character since they've left wrestling. They haven't left wrestling. They're at conventions all the time because they want that moolah. But that's where the Nasty Boys are nowadays. Clyde, they're having trouble parking cars. Funniest thing is, they got the car parked properly. And then once they both got out of the car, shook their head at the same time, as if it would have been scripted, got in the car and drove away.
What?
So, and our final question comes from Chaz Kangas, who is a sick, unique MC from New York. He asks, how different would things have been had the British Bulldog been the fourth man of the NWO as originally planned, instead of him re-signing with WWF last minute and giving that slot to the Giant? Now, this is a very good question and an in-depth question that I would like to talk to Double A about. I think the history of the NWO as we know it would be something completely different. I don't see British Bulldog being that rebel, outlaw kind of guy. I honestly thought the fourth member should have been six, should have been X-Pac, Sean Waltman. You know who I'm talking about. British Bulldog didn't seem to have that takeover thing that actually killed the NWO towards the end when everybody was joining, including my favorite wrestler, Virgil. Take that with a grain of cocaine as well. But yeah, that's about as much as I'm going to get into that question, because I'd like to chat with Double A about this one. But what I think, in the end, had British Bulldog been the fourth man of the NWO, hey, it could have worked, but I don't think it would have done as much for WCW as it did, bringing in the Giant as young Paul White, the Giant, Big Show, had more of a mystique. He was big. He was the Giant. He was huge. They were playing him up as Andre the Giant's son. And, yeah, so that's about it. I'll have to think about it some more. Maybe I'll get back to that one. And the final question from Chaz is, which wrestler would I be willing to name my child after?
And your girlfriend says none.
You have to pick one.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
That's okay, middle name only, though, not first name.
It doesn't mean we have to really do it.
I'm aware of that, but even in fake life.
Okay, I'm going to say... I was going to say Bruno, but you don't want to do that to a kid.
No.
I was thinking Brett, but I think I like Doink. Or maybe Doink, or either Doink, or depending on if the child comes out, maybe Giant Gonzalez.
What if it's a girl?
If it's a girl.
Would you name her after a female wrestler?
Yes.
I don't know. Lita, maybe.
Lita, yes. That's it. That's the easy answer. I would name my daughter Lita after a female wrestler. I would never name her China.
Never. Never. Never.
No way. And it looks like that is all the questions.
Oh, better yet, we should totally have a boy named him Punk after CM Punk. Yeah, that would be cool.
Name him, yeah. There's a lot of good. I mean, I like Owen. The Kevin Steen's son's name is Owen, and you get into why. My pick. I don't have a.
We just need, like, five picks.
Okay. Okay, my pick, I would...
For a boy, let's go boy. Who would it be?
For a boy, it would be that character that Al Snow played. His name would be Avatar Watson.
Avatar Watson.
Avatar.
All right, and if it's girl...
Lita.
Just Lita?
Miss Congeniality, which Lita was called in ECW. I don't know. Come on, Chaz Kangas. Damn it, I don't know what to name my kids now.
Let's see, I guess if I had the option for our child, it had to be a wrestler. For a boy, I still say the CM Punk thing because I just think that'd be really cool. And also, my kid would probably hate me, so it works out. And then for a girl, name her after Gorgeous George.
Yes, Gorgeous George. Okay, Gorgeous George either way. Boy, or that's it. We have decided our firstborn child will be named Gorgeous George, whether it is a male or a female. Everyone, thank you for listening to the Rexplex episode number 2. This has been a blast. I want to thank Lexi V for joining me.
It's been fun. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I'll be back soon.
You can follow on Twitter at the Rexplex. Send your questions, comments, or hate mail to therexplex@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, just search The Rexplex, and you will see us. Listen to us every Thursday at 7 p.m. 6 Central on rantemradio.com, and also check out all the other great shows they have on there. I want to thank everyone for listening to episode number 2 once more. Stay positive, love your life, take care of yourself and someone else. Have a great day, great night, have a great week. I'll see you next week.
Tell me that you like